Hello?
Hello, Rachel?
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. This is Sam from Just Talk With Sam podcast. How you doing today?
Yes, I'm great. I'm in a vehicle on a very long drive from two very distant destinations.
Okay, well, if you're ready, let's just start this interview for the podcast. That's okay?
Okay, great. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, terrific.
All right, well, let's start. You were talking about this very long drive. I know you're going to be here opening for Howard Jones at St. Andrews on the 11th of March. But right now, how's the tour going so far?
Yeah. Oh, everything is going great. We had a wonderful show last night, and tonight we're headed to Minneapolis. It's from Milwaukee to Minneapolis, so we're enjoying the Midwest, and I already have a lot of friends and fans here, so it's made it a lot of fun.
That's cool. Like, I was doing some homework on you, and I found that you love, and I mean capital L, love going out on the road. What is it that you like?
What
is it about that you like about going on the road?
You know, I just love performing. I love the live element, being on stage, and the fact that it's different every single night. It's such a huge and important challenge as an artist, I think, to keep the music, you know, just it's living and it's breathing and just different all the time. So I love that. I love the relationship with the audience that we continue to build and evolve. And, you know, beyond that, I just absolutely love meeting all different kinds of people, hearing what's going on in their lives and kind of, you know, having that overview of not only this country, but every country where we travel. It's a very exciting and enriching life.
Okay. Well, I mean, do you have any favorite stories from your time on tour, or is it just some, like, a feeling?
Sure. I mean, I've toured a lot with Howard Jones. As you know, this is my third tour with him, and one of my very favorite tours with him was in England. We played a beautiful venue called Union Chapel, and it's like a church. Well, it is a church, but just the magnificence of the decor, and you've got stained glass windows all around you, and it's just very spiritual in a way. So, you know, it's been amazing to play places like that, and then, you know, we've played absolute dive bars in between, and each place has its own character and its own unique vibe, and it's definitely never boring. So I think for someone who does ADD as me, it's a perfect lifestyle.
Hey, you just mentioned dive bars. When you're on the road, are there like specific places that you just gotta go whenever you're out?
You know, not really. I mean, I have certain memories of great spots all along our route. Like in San Francisco, there are particular restaurants that we love. But we don't really always have the luxury of going back to the exact same place twice. You know, even if we return to a city, we might be in a completely different part of it. And, you know, so I think part of the romance of the road is that you don't get overly attached to anything and need to repeat it. It really is kind of in that Anthony Bourdain-esque way.
Yeah.
It's about trying new things all the time and, you know, just staying open to completely new experiences. So I love that part about it.
One thing about that, you kind of mentioned Bourdain about this, but one thing he had problems with, especially like with Parts Unknown and stuff, he would get sick a lot. How do you avoid getting sick while you was on the road?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, as you may know, I am now a cancer survivor, or as I like to say, a cancer thriver.
Mm-hmm.
So my perspective now is actually very different from what it used to be. I used to really burn the candle and stay up all night, and, you know, I wasn't partying necessarily, but just working and trying to balance my business of Empress Records with, you know, just the work at hand and the late nights at the club. So now, you know, I still do that to an extent, but I try to minimize that and get as much sleep as I can, look for the healthy places to eat. You know, we have a Whole Foods app in our phone. And, yeah, I try to be a little more mature about it all.
Okay.
And really take care of myself as much as I can. But yoga and also being a vegetarian, I think, and eating a lot of veggies. You know, all those things. And just common sense is not, you know, trying to avoid people who are overtly sick and germs in general, which, of course, we're having a very zeitgeist moment with, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah, especially, like, stuff like corona. And it, well, you don't really know, you know, I understand that.
Right.
Well, let's...
Yeah, and it's hard because I'm a very effusive person, so I want to hug everybody, but, you know, you got to be sensible about it.
I get that. And let's shift gears a little bit. Mainly, I just want to be up front. I have learned about your music primarily through the TV show Dance Moms. Mainly because
that's awesome.
My mom,
I love that.
My wife, you know, used to watch Dance Moms, and I didn't really pay the attention. So a lot of times, I'm just hearing your songs in the background, and like one of the things that gave me a little bit more in it, you know, you would listen like, who is this person, and you'll go from there. I want to say like, you yourself as a dancer, how do you feel you have incorporated or even more of your history as a dance in the newest music styles or performances that you have now?
Oh, I love that question because it is such a, you know, a combination of all the different things that have inspired me. And as you know, I had an album Choreographic, and some of those songs ended up on Dance Moms. That show was really a wild ride for me, and I had kind of left my dance past behind. You know, sometimes when you do something so intensely in your youth, and then it comes to a rather unceremonious end, which in my case was my parents, you know, pushing me to go to college, as parents do, you know, it can be a bit bittersweet. But what was wonderful about that show for me is that I had this opportunity to see other people just totally randomly, you know, coming across my music and bringing it to life through dance. And it helped me reapproach dance with a much healthier, more joyful attitude. So I just got a big kick out of it. And then as a composer and a recording artist, it was really exciting for me to record a song from scratch for Maddie Ziegler, the song Happiness. So when we play that on stage, we talk about that experience, and there are always people, especially young women in the audience, you know, for whom that resonates, and they come up to me and tell me they heard it on the show. So it's just a lot of fun, and it's kind of gotten me over the bittersweetness of my dance past and having quit that particular discipline.
Well, since we're talking about music, let's talk about the album. It comes out the 6th. It's called
Sure.
Character. Now, this
Yeah.
one, I listened to a few tracks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different. You talked about, you kind of answered the next question I was going to ask. It was going to be like, did you notice an evolution as a songwriter? Yeah, you're not dancing anymore. So, yeah, that's kind of an evolution that way. But this is what, your 14th album, if I'm hearing me? 14?
It is. Yes, you've done your homework. Thank you.
I try to. You know, I gotta know, like, in your mind, what makes this album a little bit different other than the lack of dancing?
Oh, well, I mean, personally, I haven't been a dancer in almost 20 years, so that's been that way for a while. But in terms of the inspiration behind it and the process, it was very much a huge healing process for me to make this album. I was coming right out of multiple treatments for uterine cancer in 2018, and I was at a pretty low point, you know, physically and mentally, but doing my best to keep my spirits up. And, you know, there was always this light at the end of that process of knowing I would get back into the studio, get back into writing, but I just didn't know when or how. And so when it started to come together and I wrote the first few songs for what would become the record, it was just this revelation that, you know, even when you think that things are hopeless or that they're too difficult for you to handle, you know, that proverbial cloudy sky is going to clear, and time is just the greatest healer. It really is. It's such a cliche, but it was very true for me.
Yeah.
And music was the biggest component of that. So, you know, I'm just very grateful that I got to make this album, and I was very high on life and music and the companionship of everyone involved as I was making it.
Honestly, if you listen to the music, it actually shows, because it's sort of like, forgive me what I'm saying, it's like whatever you're going through, like in previous albums, I'll just use this, mm-hmm. and some of your previous works, you were more guitar focused in your sound. You were more, I don't want to call it wild or rageful or anger, there's like an intensity with it. With this one, this was more like reflective to some degree. I hope I'm making sense.
I think you're spot on. Absolutely, and thank you. I think that's probably just, you know, a natural result of me trying to be more mindful in my life, to use a yoga phrase, a meditation phrase. And that really had not been the case prior. I was, you know, very much your stereotypical intense Scorpio New Yorker, going, you know, full speed ahead since my teens when I first got into music professionally. And I think you need that fuel and that energy, that kind of blind ambition to get to a certain point in a music career, but that's not where this record was coming from at all. It really was just about putting one foot in front of the other and reflecting on how I've lived my life thus far, how I want to live it moving forward, and just as you said, everything I was going through and trying to make sense of it in a positive way and in a way that will be hopeful and hopefully inspiring to other people, you know, going through respective struggles. So I think you nailed it. You got it, my friend.
I'm curious, 14 albums, does recording gets easier at any point? I mean, at this point, 14 albums, it should be old hat at this point.
Oh, that is hilarious. I think it's kind of like a metaphor for, you know, like if you say, does living get any easier? You know, I mean, because you're 30, you're 40, you're 50, you're 60. I don't know. You know, I think these are interesting questions that are very philosophical. I don't really think about them too much. I just try to go in each time and, you know, be authentic to the music in my head and present to what's right in front of me in terms of capturing magic from myself and other musicians that I've brought in. So easier or harder, I don't know. I think it's more about just growing, striving maybe for different aesthetics, different parts of you to come out. So no, I don't think it gets easier.
Okay. Because the way I look at it, you got to look at it. On one hand, you are a very private person. But on the other hand, you write music that can feel so emotionally raw, whatever that experience that you're going through, I feel like I'm there with you. What of your songs made you feel most open off the album? Most, because you usually play your cards close to your chest, but which would you say off character made you feel like, all right, look, this is it. This is what I'm going through. This is it.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. A lot of my songs in the past have been a little cryptic, poetic, and I put this sort of veil of this gauze of poetry in front of a lot of it. But I think there are two songs on the record where I just didn't want to do that. I really wanted to be direct. And so they're straight from my heart onto my sleeve. And those would be Bravery's On Fire and When I Was Young.
Okay.
So yeah, Bravery's On Fire was really all about just kind of needing to declare my vulnerability in a way that allowed me the freedom to not have to carry so much, you know, but just be able to kind of let go and be honest about what was happening to those around me and say, you know, this is difficult, this is challenging, I'm not necessarily okay. And that's a very tough thing for someone who's a control freak like myself.
Okay.
So I think, you know, that's why that song has, you know, resonated with a lot of people live, and it's been really humbling to have all different kinds of people come up and tell me that they related in very different ways from what I even intended. So that's been a huge gift. And the other song, When I Was Young, it's really more about kind of looking back on your life, and in particular your youth, and realizing just how much you've taken for granted, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think we need to do that when we're young. You know, how overwhelmed would we be if we looked ahead to the decades in front of us and contemplated on, you know, one day our health, you know, being in crisis, or that we would lose loved ones, all of those things. I think it's kind of a miracle the way the human brain is constructed, that for whatever reason we're almost incapable of projecting in that way. So it's kind of about having that perspective, and then recognizing that eventually, you know, we're all the same, we all bleed the same blood and encounter the same challenges as we get older. So
Okay.
Yeah, so those two.
Well, let's move on the other side of the table, because as an artist,
sure,
I mean, you're good. However, you founded Empress Records, and now you're providing home for other artists. And self-admittedly, a minute ago, you just said you're a bit of a control freak. I'm curious, how does it feel being the boss? See, now you're the boss. You're the person cultivating new talent. So how does that feel?
You know, on my best days, and when everything is really clicking, it's an exhilarating and really gratifying feeling. And I imagine it might be sort of similar to parenting or being a teacher, you know, where you feel like what you're trying to offer and cultivate is actually landing, and it's, you know, the work is getting out there, and everything's just happening in a way that you wanted to. You're supporting the artists that you believe in, and they're doing well, and you know, that's when it's all working. And then of course there are all the growing pains of, you know, just having to try to figure out and navigate these ever-changing you know, business dynamics in music, and you know, that can be exhausting, and it can feel like you're chasing your tail, because there really is no one right way to do anything anymore.
Right.
Not that there ever was, but it used to seem like there was a clearer path to success, you know, quote unquote.
Right.
And now it's just, it's a wild, wild west out there. So it's humbling. You know, I'm always learning, always listening, and keeping my ear to the ground, reading and watching other artists, how they do things. So it keeps me on my toes.
I think
it keeps me sharp.
Makes sense. Now, one thing I would like to ask, mainly because I'm not a recording artist, but I am not an artist in any way. I am a guy who talks. I mean, like, if you want to call me a recording artist, that is the loosest definition of me. But there are a lot of artists who just listen to my show. And they, you know, I want to say this. You've been around for a while, and you got kids. I want to say that up front. You got Rachel Sage kids. You got people who look to you for advice. What advice would you give some of the new artists coming through today? I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I love a bit of, no, it's great. I remember when I played Willis Bear, and I was on a panel with Sheryl Crow and Suzanne Vega and Sarah McLachlan, and these are women, you know, to whom I've looked up for years. And I remember Suzanne Vega saying something that I really still hold very dear. You know, she just said, try to block out the noise, you know, even of the people who pretend to believe in you the most. They're going to have a million opinions. Your manager, your lawyer, you know, whoever it may be, your mother. And, you know, not only take every bit of advice and criticism with a grain of salt, but sometimes you just have to block it up completely and really just stay true to the music you want to make, the music you love, and that if you do that with blinders, you know, to a degree, it will find an audience. Because while each of us is a unique snowflake, you know, there are so many points of overlap. So if you're true to yourself and your own muse, your audience will find you. And I really believe that's true.
Okay. Now, one thing I want to ask, and I'm very curious, do you ever get time to relax and be away from music? I mean, like, you're either doing it yourself or you're helping someone else do it. How do you unwind? What do you do? How do you shut it off?
I love movies. I mean, I could sit in a movie theater all day long. I could sit in front of a TV screen and, you know, just click order on that Netflix channel or whatever the case may be. I mean, I could watch 3 or 4 or 5 movies in a row, honestly, and or binge watch a wonderful show that I love, like, you know, Grace and Frankie or Frankie and Grace. Or Homeland. You know, I love drama, and I used to be an actress. I still have a part of me that, you know, identifies as an actress. So drama, comedy, theater, anything where I'm transported by a story that's not my own is cathartic and helps me unwind, absolutely. And great food. I love to eat. I have a great appetite. And while I'm super healthy now and have changed the way I eat, I still love the art of cuisine and really relish that.
Okay. All right. I like the pun there, relish. No, I'm kidding. One thing I will say, I want to thank you so much. I know I only had a limited time with you, but on IG, on Twitter, is Rachel Sager. IG is Rachel_Sage. The website is rachelsage.com. The album Character comes out March 6th. And you mind if we play a couple cuts from Character throughout this podcast so people can get a little bit
that
more in touch?
That would be fantastic.
Okay.
Yay.
But Rachel, thank you so much for just giving us a little bit of your time. I look forward to seeing you when you're here in Detroit. And just thank you so much.
Yes. Oh, thank you, and I'll see you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.